Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah, hallelujah, my provider. Prince of Peace. And I worship you because of who you are. Let's say that just one more time. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah. Prince of Peace. Because of who? Because of who?
You can keep praising them. That's okay. It is always a good time to praise the Lord. You are never out of season or out of fashion whenever you praise the Lord. The Bible says we are to always give thanks. The Bible also says in everything. It didn't say in some things. It didn't say in the good things. It didn't say when times are feeling wonderful. It says we are to always and in everything give him praise and thanksgiving. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? How about this side over here? Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be here with you this morning, resurrection morning. And Pastor gave me a rather formal introduction. People say, Antonio? Well, his name was Tony, yes. My legal name is Antonio. My father, here's the short story. So my father, God bless his soul, he's still living. He'll be 90 next November, praise God. Joseph Paul Parham Sr. And he's was a Spanish and French teacher in high school. And I was born in Baltimore, Maryland, but while he was studying at the Universidad de Mexico in Mexico City. So although my older brother was named Joseph Paul Parham Jr., and my younger brother was named David Alexander Parham, I became Antonio Miguel Parham. So, but praise God, it's all good. But most folks call me Tony, so just say, go ahead, Pastor Tony, just go ahead. So our time is short, and we want to look not to Pastor Tony, but we want to look to the Word. So we're going to look at John chapter 20. John chapter 20. I'm going to be reading from the New International Version. John chapter 20, verses 1 through 8. John chapter 20, verses 1 through 8. And the text reads, early, say early, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and she said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. I don't know why he didn't go in. I'm just taking a pause. I don't know if he was anxious, nervous, like, what's going on? She reported, what do you mean he's not there? What, and we saw that they both were just so amazed by this, they had burst out running, and John, the disciple whom Peter loved, who Jesus loved, he was so energized with adrenaline, he outran out of him. Oh my God, what do you mean? What's going on? And he got, like, even though he got there first, he was a little cautious, didn't want to go in. Like, what am I going to see when I go in? It says in verse 5, he bent or looked at strips of line, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, who had got outstripped by him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, John, who was maybe scared, anxious, we don't know what he was thinking, he gathered himself up. He had reached the tomb first, but now he gathered himself. He also went inside. He saw that the tomb was empty. He saw and believed. Father, we thank you for this morning, this day in which we celebrate your resurrection. And we pray that you would minister a word of truth to these who have gathered in Jesus' name. And the people said, so I recognize that at church services in general, and particularly on Easter, people come to church for all kinds of reasons. And there are people at all different levels of spiritual awareness, spiritual understanding, even all different levels of being able to pray, or people who have never prayed, once just use the Lord's name in vain. That's what they consider their prayer. Oh, Jesus. Where you got from those end of the folks all the way to folks who consider themselves prayer warriors. And that reminds me of the story, in fact, of the mother who had assembled a big Easter dinner. It was Easter, and she invited everybody and their mama to come over for Easter dinner. And she was preparing everything together and had her little kids there and everything. And finally, when everyone's finally assembled around the table, she turned to her little six-year-old Janie and said, "Janie, why don't you pray for us for the food?" And Janie said, "Mommy, I don't know how to pray." Janie, it's okay. Just pray what you hear Mommy pray. She said, okay, Mommy. "Dear Lord, why did I invite all these people here to dinner?" So we are at all different levels. But as we think about this whole matter of the story of the gospel and the story that is portrayed in the Bible, those 66 books of the Bible, and how this had the story is depicted there of what has gone on for hundreds of years and how God created the earth and how from Adam and Eve went through all types of dramatic stories of successes and failures, of overcoming and of going down and of God moving people through difficult situations. I mean, you talk about series on TV, Empire and Scandal. Empire and Scandal ain't got nothing on the empires and scandals that are sometimes portrayed in the will of God. Good people, conniving people. But yet and still, with all that history, it culminates in Resurrection Sunday. And when we think about all of that, I want us to ask this question, and this is the topic of my comments. Who is Jesus? Who are you? Who is Jesus? Who are you? In Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, it says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? His disciples replied, some say you're John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. And still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Jesus said, but what about you? Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so the most responsible historical question that each of you can ask is, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Because to know Jesus is to know the way to salvation. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, Jesus says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief, and the thief is real, Satan is real. Turn to your neighbor and say, Satan is real. The thief, Jesus says, come only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So in this whole matter of knowing who Jesus is, there's a couple of areas I want to touch on. First of all, let's look at what are his titles as we look through the scriptures. What are the titles that are used to refer to Jesus? One title is Lord. Lord. Lord, that means he who has rule and authority over creation and ownership of all things and people. Luke chapter 2, verse 11 says, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord, the Lord. Acts chapter 2, verse 36, Peter addresses the crowd on the day of Pentecost, and he says, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Amen. So one of his titles is Lord. Can you say Lord? Amen. Another title for Jesus is Messiah in the Hebrew or Christ in the Greek. And those two words just mean the anointed one. The anointed. Can you say the anointed one? Now, anointing refers to an act of consecration whereby an individual is set apart. Set apart. Anointing really just means set apart to serve God. And then that person is anointed with oil oftentimes to signify that. And that's sometimes a point of power in doing power. Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 to 2 says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord, and this is a prophetic text. This is Isaiah speaking about an event that is to come in the future. And Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. So that's the passage of Isaiah. Then in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, Jesus is in the temple and refers back to that scripture and says to those gathered, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So Jesus is the anointed one. Can you say the anointed one? All right, so he's Lord, he's the anointed one. He's also prophet. Can you say prophet? A prophet is one who speaks to the people on behalf of God. So a prophet speaks from God to the people. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 2 says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. Matthew chapter 21, verse 11, in Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. So he's also a prophet. Can you say prophet? So a prophet, I said, was one who speaks from God to the people, but he's also a priest. Can you say priest? Now, a priest is one who speaks to God on behalf of the people. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, it reads, we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26 to 27 says, such a high priest meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other priests, he, Jesus, does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people, because he sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. Amen? So Jesus is Lord. He's the anointed one. He's a prophet speaking from God to the people and a priest speaking to God on behalf of the people. And he's also king. Can you say king? All right, let's get together. Let's say king. Now, a king is one invested with ultimate authority and power over his subjects. John chapter 18, verse 37, Pilate is speaking to him in this kangaroo court, if you will, that has been assembled. And Pilate blurts out to Jesus, so you are a king then, huh? Jesus answered, you are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this very reason, I was born. And for this, I came into the world to testify to the truth. And Revelation 19, verse 11, 16 says, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. On his robe and on his thigh, he had his name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So Jesus' titles, he's Lord, he's the anointed one, he's prophet, he's priest, and he's king. So that's his titles. Okay, so that's good. But what is his work? Well, he had his work on the cross, firstly to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 says, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Pretty plain. He also made reconciliation with God possible. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 says, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That's his work on the cross. And then also his work in establishing his church. During his earthly ministry, he worked through discipleship. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, he said to his disciples, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So that's while he was here physically. Then after his resurrection, which is what we're celebrating today, he worked through the power of the Holy Spirit and the authority of his name. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. So that's who Jesus is in terms of his titles and in terms of his works. And you may say, well, that's all very good, but let me say this a little bit different. Let me say it a little bit more bluntly to you. I'll say it in the words of something called the quadrilemma, which is a big fancy word. It's similar to the word dilemma. Dilemma is the die meaning two things, lemma meaning assumption. So a dilemma is where you're choosing between two things. There's something called the quadrilemma, which says there really, when you think about who this Jesus guy is, there's really only four choices. Either he's a legend, a liar, a lunatic, or Lord. Now, legend, let's look at that. Could he have been a legend? Could it be that, well, you know what, this is a myth that sounded good, but he really didn't exist. It was just kind of a folklore. Well, let's think about that one. There is so much historical and archaeological evidence to support the existence of Jesus that every reputable historian agrees that he was not a legend. Okay, so we debunked that one. So he's not a legend. Well, if he actually existed, maybe he was a liar. Maybe he knew he wasn't all these things he claimed to be, but he tried to convince us otherwise. Well, if he were a liar, why would he die on the cross for his claim when he could have avoided easily such a cruel death with a few choice words? So he probably wasn't a liar. Well, if he wasn't a legend, he wasn't a liar, maybe he was a lunatic. He didn't knowingly say things that were false, but he thought he was what he said he was, but he really wasn't. Well, if he were a lunatic, how did he engage in intelligent debates with his opponents or handle the stress of his betrayal and crucifixion while continuing to show a deep love for his antagonists? And why did his disciples follow him even to their own death, sealing their testimony on their death? That doesn't make sense. So if he's not a legend, if he's not a liar, if he's not a lunatic, then he must be Lord. All right, so that's all well and good. So we've established who is Jesus, and that's good and well and important. But perhaps the more important question is, who are you? Who are you? And in regards to your relationship with God, I would suggest that there are three types of people. There are those who have no relationship with the Lord. Well, and to folks in that bucket, Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Psalm 14, verse 1 says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. James chapter 2, verse 19 says, even demons believe there is one God. And Blaise Pascal, who was a very famous French mathematician, physicist, inventor, writer, philosopher, child prodigy, he was all that in a bag of chips. He says, there is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every man, every woman, which cannot be filled by any created thing, but only by God, the Creator, made known through Jesus. And then I would add to all of those thoughts that worldly success is fine and good, and I've had a little bit of that, and I've helped others to get a little bit of that. Coaching, executive coaching, this, that, and the other. We won't go back. Today's not about me. There's nothing wrong with all that. But like Blaise Pascal said, there is a God-shaped vacuum in each one of us that you can try to fill up every other room in your house with all that great stuff. But there's this one room that can only be filled by God himself. So if you're in this first bucket, you have no relationship with the Lord, the prayer that you should have is, Lord, meet me. Can we all say that together? Lord, meet me. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You can establish that relationship with the Lord. God can meet you. So that's the first bucket. You have no relationship with the Lord, and the prayer would be, Lord, meet me. The second bucket, perhaps you have a relationship with the Lord, but you are immature in your relationship with the Lord. You made a commitment to God way back in yesteryear. You remember the day well and what you were wearing. But since that day, not much has happened between you and God in that relationship. And that is not necessarily a great place to be. That's like if you got married to someone, but since that wedding day, you got pictures of that wedding day all up all over your room. You got a screensaver on your computer. You point, "Woo, yeah, look at that. This is my wedding day. See what I was wearing? Oh, it was great. It was great. Oh, well, how y'all doing? Doing? What do you mean? Well, you know, how are you and your spouse doing? Oh, I haven't seen them since then. I haven't spoken to them. You don't have an ongoing relationship, but you got the picture of that wedding day. That's the same thing with us. It's not about that day alone. That day is important, and that day establishes your destiny. But even more important than that is your relationship. Can you say relationship? And so if you are in this bucket where you have not developed that relationship, you have an immature relationship with the Lord, the prayer that you might pray is, Lord, teach me. Can you say that? Lord, teach me. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4 says, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. You grow and establish your relationship, one, by studying the word on your own, having the word taught to you, also by coming together with others. Hebrews chapter 10, 24 says, forsake not the gathering of yourselves together so that you may encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And Psalms talks about, as Proverbs chapter 27, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. So we are to read the word on our own, study the word regularly, have the word broken to us, fellowship with our other fellow Christians so that iron sharpens iron, we can grow in our relationship. So you may be no relationship with the Lord, and the prayer is, Lord, meet me. You may have an immature relationship with the Lord, and the prayer is, Lord, teach me. But you may have be mature in your relationship also. And some of us, and that's a good thing to be mature in that relationship, but some of us get to the place where we get so mature that we get a little stale. Just a little stale. In fact, we say, well, I do all that I'm supposed to do. I go to church. I do this and another. But we sometimes, some of us, not saying all of us, sometimes some of us get to a place where we get a little bored. And we ask the Lord, well, is this all there is? I'm studying in the word like the preacher said. I'm reading it. I'm going to church service. But you know what? Those church services just don't excite me the way they used to. It's just not speaking. When I first got saved, there was such an excitement, but I'm just not feeling it anymore. And you know what I found? That sometimes when you get in that place, your prayer should be, Lord, use me. Can you say that? Lord, use me. Sometimes when you're so focused on me, myself, and I, and my needs, my concerns. I'm not belittling your concerns. We all have concerns. We all have issues. We have problems with kids, with parents, with jobs, with all bosses, with lack of bosses because you're unemployed, and God can meet you. And those things are good, and it's important. But I've found that when you lift your eyes from yourself to your neighbor, there's a whole different level of anointing which occurs. I found that even in my most difficult times, I've been, I don't have time to tell you my whole testimony, but I've been in places, they used to say in Texas, or you felt lower than a rattlesnake's underbelly. I've been there. And I found that if I took my eyes away from my situation, even though I am legitimately hurting, and looked to my neighbor and reached out to that person and ministered to the needs of that person, and as I let myself be a tool, a conduit, I found that as the power and anointing of God flows through my conduit, my tube, to that person, interesting enough, some of that anointing and power sticks on me as it goes through. And as I try to reach and take that person to the next level, something about that takes me to the next level. I can't explain all that it is, but I'm telling you that that's a fact. So if you are in that category, that might just be your prayer. Lord, use me. Amen. So as we close, so we've heard a little bit about who this Jesus is. We know that he is Lord. He is the anointed one. He is prophet. He is priest. He is king. But perhaps more importantly, we've heard a little bit about who we might be. Who are we? You might be in no relationship with the Lord, and your prayer should be, Lord, meet me. You might be immature in your relationship, and your prayer might be, Lord, teach me. You might be very mature in your relationship, and your prayer might be, Lord, use me. As we bow our head and look to the Father, Jesus, we thank you for the sacrifice that you made on the cross for us. As you were being spat upon, whipped, scourged, mocked, beaten, nailed, stabbed in the side, left to die, one of the most horrible deaths known to the Roman Empire. You who were without sin bore our sins, our failure. You paid the ultimate sacrifice for us who perhaps were not even keeping you in mind. But you had us in your mind. And so, Father, we come to you this morning, early in the morning. And if there is one here who has no relationship with you, Father, as they examine themselves, examine their preconception of who you said you were, we pray that you would honor their prayer when they say, Lord, meet me. If there are those who, yes, gave their life to you some many moons ago, but have not necessarily grown in that relationship, we thank you that you will reach out to them and help them as they pray, Lord, teach me. And for those who perhaps have been in your way for a while, but perhaps the excitement is a little worn off, we pray that you would meet them as they pray, Lord, use me. Not just in church work, which is doing things in this facility, in this organization, that's important. Not just in church work, but in doing the work of the church. You've called us and you said you were to be ambassadors. You've given to each one of us the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation meaning to restore in right standing one who has fallen out of relationship. So whichever category each person is in this morning, minister to them in Jesus' name. Be blessed.
Praise the Lord. We thank the Lord for the power of His Word this morning, for the convicting power of His Word, for the enlightening power of His Word. We certainly do want to open up the altar for those of you who perhaps, having heard this Word, feel a prompting to come and pray. I'm going to ask our ministerial staff if you would come forward to receive those who perhaps would want to pray with someone. You may, having heard this Word, recognize that you are one of those who is without the Lord. We certainly invite you on this resurrection morning to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Perhaps you did know the Lord at some point, but it's been quite some time now. Your relationship has drifted away. Once again, can't think of a better day to renew that relationship than on this resurrection morning. To get a year off right, amen, this being the highest holy day, this in many ways being the start of our year in Christ, to start the year off on a good foot early in the morning and to renew your relationship with Him. It may be that you, again, just having felt this conviction, really want to ask the Lord to use you more powerfully. Once again, we open up the altar to receive you as we pray with you and pray for you. Won't you come? Thank you, God. Well, we do thank you so much for this Word this morning, God. We have thought that we knew who you were, God. Thank you, Lord, for Pastor Tony, as he broke it down even more clearly, God, that you are Lord, you are priest, you are the anointed one, the Messiah, God, you are the prophet. And then, God, for the challenge for us to examine ourselves, who are we? There are the things that people see in us, things that people say about us, but what matters most is how you respond to that question, who are we? God, we thank you for this meat that we're going to chew on, Lord, not only throughout this day, but in the week and the weeks to come, God. Thank you for the preacher. Thank you for the depth, O God, of his study, having shown himself to be approved, God, and for the razor-sharp way in which he imparts that word to us. We receive it, God, even as we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to continue in our worship as we come now to our time of offering. We want to ask that if you are in need of an offering envelope, if you would please just very quickly raise your hand. The greeters will bring an offering envelope to you. If you're giving online, you can go at BethelAME.org. You'll see at the very top there's it says give, and you can press give, and then it will take you to the donate page. If you continue to scroll down, you'll see the donate button. And once again, we are very grateful to you for your giving and for the blessing that you have been in your giving. Why don't you just raise your offering envelopes, and if you're giving by smartphone, please do raise your phone. God, it is indeed with great joy that we bring these offerings unto you this morning, God. We're not just putting into the offering basket so it can go to Bethel Church, oh God, or not just putting it in the offering so it can go to Holy Temple, God. We are putting it in the offering so that it can be a seed in your kingdom, Lord. We pray that these seeds might be planted in rich, fertile ground and that would bear a harvest 10, 30, 60, 100-fold. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please won't you stand, and we encourage everyone to stand. And if you are able, amen, if you are able, press your way to bring your offerings this morning. A little offering music, please, amen. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Church say amen. Church say praise the Lord. You got a teaching this morning, amen? Let's give the preacher some praise for being a follower of the Lord in every area. Amen, amen, amen. That was a good word. That was a good word. It's good to be reminded of who is Jesus to you. You know what other people say, but what do you say? Amen. So we're here today for baptism. Baptism, amen, amen, baptism. So we're going to ask at this time if the baptismal candidates would come forward, because we want to make sure that you are satisfied, that they know what they're doing, that they know that they're committing themselves. So we ask them to come over this way. Amen. Hey, give them a hand. Hallelujah. We have to tell you, in your bulletin, you'll see four names, but you see seven people. Amen, amen. We got a call, a late call, from Brother Omar, who wanted to be baptized, along with son Casey and Caden. While we were here, Caden said he wanted to be baptized also. So we didn't just take that at face value. I asked him some questions, and he got them all right. He knocked them out the park. So he knows what he's doing. So give this young man. Amen. We ask that you would add Omar, Casey, and Caden to your bulletin, and when you're praying, that you would pray for them. Also, all the candidates, lift them up in prayer. So as we come here and prepare, we just want to examine them in front of the church. Amen? We all know that they're here to make a public witness of what they believe internally. So we want them to answer these questions before the body. So I'm going to ask you several questions, and I'm going to ask you to answer those questions, and I will give you the answer, and if you agree, then you would repeat it. Amen? Amen. Do you renounce the devil and all his works, the vain pomp and glory of the world, with all covetous desires of the flesh, so that you will not follow nor be led by them? If you do, answer, I renounce them all. Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, and that he was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, and that he suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, that he rose again the third day, that he ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. And from there he shall come again at the end of the world to judge the quick and the dead? And do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the remission of sins, the resurrection of the body, and everlasting life after death? If you do, say, all this I steadfast believe. Will you be baptized in this faith? Answer, this is my desire. Will you then obediently keep God's holy will and commandments and walk in the same all the days of your life? If so, answer, I will endeavor to do so, God being my helper. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Take me to the water. Take me to the water. Take me to the water. Come on, We're going to ask that you please, you can come and fill in, but please don't stand in front of anybody if you're here, but you can come to the rear here and you can come over to the side. Michelle Gilchrist, because of your testimony of saving faith in Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, and in obedience to the command of our Savior, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Nita Wright, because of your testimony of saving faith in Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, and in obedience to the command of our Savior, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Shania Gregory Boko, because of your testimony of saving faith in Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, and in obedience to the commandment of our Savior, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Aiden Elliott Simmons, because of your testimony of saving faith in Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, and in obedience to the commandment of our Savior, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus.
Jalen Williams, because of your testimony of saving faith in Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, and in obedience to the commandment of our Savior, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Casey Ellis Simmons, because of your testimony of saving faith in Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, and in obedience to the commandment of our Savior, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Omar Lewis Simmons, because of your testimony of saving faith in Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, and in obedience to the commandment of our Savior, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus.